Okay, Father, we thank you for all that you do with us, Lord. You know, Lord, these trials that we go through, we just praise you for them because they are mature in each one of us when we go through them, Lord. It makes us have to believe you, Lord. We don't have anything else. We don't have any other way to go. A lot of times, but with just you, we have to believe you. And Father, I thank you for placing us into those situations where we have to believe you. Because then you get to glory. Nobody else can. Man can't. The enemy can't. It just has to be you. And Lord, I thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome time. It's going to be a time of reflection, a time of prayer, and a time of revelation knowledge that you've given us. And I ask, Father, for your wisdom in sharing these things that I have to share. And Lord, bolster me up and give me great and bold faith. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Well, that's true. I want to wait a little bit until everybody gets in. I've got a sad but exciting testimony to give. And let me figure these people out here. Who these are. Has anybody got a prayer request while we're waiting here? Just go ahead and if anybody has a prayer request, just go ahead and ask it. Yeah, Tim.
Yeah, well, most of you know Ann and Matt are out visiting. They're going to be flying back on Saturday morning, so I'd pray that God would give them a good flight, safe flight, and as they travel, and, get them home safe and on time, and without any jet lag, and just have a blessed trip. Thank you for that.
Amen. Anybody else? Go ahead, Wayne. Hey, you did it, buddy. Praise God.
I'm seeking repentance in certain areas of my life. I've kind of been slothful and been showing an appetite, and then I'm lazy afterwards. I get other things too that my particular illness that besets me so often. I don't call it mine, but the illness that besets me, and I think that often I'm attacked by demons or I get demonized with my mental illness or the mental illness I fight against. And I had David and Michael pray for me, but I was half there. I wasn't really there all there when I talked to him. I've increased my medicine just temporarily so I don't have a breakdown. But I'm in need of repenting in a bunch of areas. And I just ask for prayer for repentance, that I can repent.
Amen. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Wade to you. Lord, we ask that you grant him repentance in all that he confesses, Father. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that he's cleansed when he does, and the demons won't have a place to reside. And we praise you for it, Father, for the deliverance of Wade and all of these things that have tormented him over the years. Lord, let this time be one of This is the only and last time that he has to worry with it anymore. Because, Lord, I ask and I pray that you put it in his heart to do whatever it is he needs to do to get cleansed of all of these tormenting demons. If he needs to go back and make restitution, Lord, I ask that you place it in his heart to do that. If he needs to go back and tell people he's sorry, I ask, Lord, that you place it in his heart to do that. Sometimes, Lord, we just don't remember and all that. I just ask that you bring it all to the surface for him in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that Wade's on the road to complete deliverance in Jesus' name. You believe that, Wade?
Yes.
Amen, brother. We love you.
Amen. I love you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I would like to do the same thing. Thanks for kind of bringing that up, Wade. I'm hoping Dave Nelson comes on here. He was talking about he's got that little file of like teachings on grace and stuff, and I would like to get to know some of those titles because I listened to one he brought up last Tuesday. I don't know who, if you guys remember the one from the, I think 4/16/17 was the date, and it was pretty convicting. I think that was more along the lines of just, between brethren, between believers, which, I don't struggle with as much as like non-believers. I'd like to know exactly, I feel pretty convicted at times, and it's like judging. Or just how we, how we as believers should treat non-believers. I mean, since I came here to UBM, that's been a real eye opener for me. I've never really understood grace. I've come from so many churches. Was born and raised a Roman Catholic before I became a Christian, and then I've been through so many denominational churches where it's like grace is foreign. So I've never truly understood the concept and I've just begun to, begin to understand it coming here, being a part of this, you could say a fellowship. And so, yeah, pray for me. That's, in those areas, I'm sure there's several things, I can see rejection being part of that, mm-hmm. Not giving people grace. And as you stated the other week, unforgiveness and all that, that's kind of part of, rejection. People are a lot more susceptible to unforgiveness, but I think it is understandable, not being in a ever really understanding grace, never being in a family who understood it and never being in churches that understood it. So I pray for some, I pray for repentance most of all in this area because it's, I would love to be able to treat non-believers a lot better than I have. Even brethren, but just non-believers to be more Christ-like towards them. So,
amen. There's two good resources that you can utilize. One of them is Speak Grace and Not Condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a book and an audio.
Yep.
And the other one is what's the one on forgiveness?
Is it The Curse of Unforgiveness?
Yes, The Curse of Unforgiveness.
Yeah, yeah.
Those two there. Read them not just once. Go through them until you get it in your heart, what it is. Mm-hmm. Because that Speak Grace and Not Condemnation is an awesome book.
Okay.
For that type of activity. So I would recommend either one of those. But, yeah, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just ask the same thing for Jerry, that you grant repentance to him, Lord. And that you open up his eyes to see what's going on and what he's done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, just lay it on the table for him. He can take it. He's a big guy. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that Joe is also going to be completely free of all these tormenting demons over the years. And I thank you for it, Father. I speak that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Joe's deliverance. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Amen. I agree. Amen.
Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Thank you, brother.
Can you hear me all right, Michael?
Yeah.
Okay, because I got my Bluetooth speaker on because the neighbor was mowing his lawn and I couldn't hardly hear because the wind.
Okay.
So I needed more volume and you see me more volume. See? Anyway, I have two requests. I'm going to see my family, leaving tomorrow morning to go see my family. And I just want prayer for that. That I would just, the Lord would open the door for me to speak. Whatever he leads me to speak, you know, just to meet my family where they're at, be weak to the weak, but, you know, at the same time, not compromise the truth either. but anyway, that, and I've noticed for, I don't know, I'm not sure how long it's been, maybe at least a month, that I've been, you know, believing for my eyes to, that, you know, that they are healed, that I wouldn't have to, like, use reader glasses or whatever, but they've gotten worse, and I was just inquiring the Lord about as why they, you know, they've gotten worse more recently, and I felt like I kind of, like, knew, and I felt like I repented of whatever, you know, the reason that they were, and I asked the Lord, and he said, I asked him if I repented for whatever it was, you know, that was the cause of it, and he said yes, so I feel like, you know, I'm clear for the healing. I just would like my eyes to not even have to use reader glasses anymore. You know, I just keep thanking the Lord that I'm healed. And I try not to say anything about it or think about it or whatever, but in the meantime, I wear reader glasses because it's a deterrent to me reading, you know. So I just use them. So.
Now let's go ahead and pray, okay?
Yeah.
All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Missy, and I ask, Lord, that you give her wisdom when she goes to visit her folks. And Father, I thank you for that. And Lord, let her be a lighthouse when she gets there. And speak the things of you, Lord, as she's never spoken before. Lord. And open up their ears to hear the words that she says, Lord. And we're going to believe for a miracle. Next time we see her, she's going to have a testimony that's going to be awesome. And as far as those eyes goes, Lord, she's not under the curse. And since she's not under the curse, we command those eyes to line up with the Word of God and allow her to see what she needs to see in the name of Jesus. We command them to be 20/20 all the way around. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to give her faith to believe that, yeah, her eyes are healed. And start speaking it and start acting on it, just like I did when I put those glasses of mine down. Lord, I thank you for it. Just like other people that have put their glasses down and just sat there with that Bible until the words start clearing up. And then that from that time on, Lord, I didn't have any problem with them because I knew that y'all was healed. And I know that you're placing that faith in her to believe that when she does that, she's going to get the faith to believe that she's healed too. Father, I praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, Missy.
I'm healed.
Amen. You certainly are.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. That it?
Okay.
Okay. All right, anybody else? Need prayer? Anybody got a testimony? Anybody got a praise report? Anybody got a comment? Anybody get a word from the Lord? Here comes Tim. We got a word from the Lord. Praise God.
I got a praise report, actually.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, bro.
While we had the visit from Anna and Matt, Natasha asked that she be baptized. So yesterday we went down to the lake, and Anna baptized Natasha, and we all rejoiced and had a great time in the Lord, and just thanking God for that, and that it was her idea, and that we're able to do it. So praise God.
Oh, wait a minute. I have my thing muted. I was singing. Y'all didn't hear that beautiful sound coming out of my mouth. I was singing down to the river. Glory to God. Okay, well, y'all just missed it. Go ahead, Willie.
Well, I got some good news. Nothing solely personal, but, you know, without me asking, more people have started showing up at the Bible study, you know. And so now we have, normally it would just be, I think about six of us. And so two more people just showed up out of the blue, like, and sat down, you know, to join into the Bible studies. And I wasn't trying to advertise it or anything like that, but I just wanted to share that because I thought it was really awesome. The Lord's putting so much more on my heart to talk about, you know, during the Bible studies. You know, stuff that is just coming out of the blue, like, I wouldn't have thought about that if you paid me. You know, and it's just been really, really wonderful times. Wonderful times, you know, for as much, you know, as I like, as, you know, I beat up on myself sometimes, but yeah, I'm fighting that rejection, you know. And we do not have, we do not have a spirit of rejection. So I'm still learning to get past being critical, you know. But yeah, you know, got to take down Cobra Commander. but yeah, wonderful. It's turning out to be, you know, quite wonderful. Just keep me in prayer, you know, because it ain't like I still get attacked by rejection and, you know, thoughts of you're not worthy to be doing any of this and blah, and should just give up, blah, 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 stuff like that. Just pray I stay strong. I need that. All right, I'm done.
Willie, can you take that Duracell battery out of your screen there?
I was praying for you, Willie, but I had my mute. Yeah, I had my mute button on. Lord, we thank you for giving Willie wisdom in this Bible study. And speak to him. Speak through him so that people will be quick to learn about your word. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I got a praise report. I, you know how we've been talking about the giving thanks for everything lately. I think I told you that last time we talked there on the Sunday, I believe it was. Yeah, I started to notice some differences, and I think it's more saying being thankful for all the negative stuff. You know, because it's, I mean, it's easy to complain and like, oh, why are you doing this, God? But it's you know, the mornings have always been the roughest part for me. I mean, to wake up, I struggle to get a good night's sleep a lot of times. And, I'll get enough hours, you know, almost, but it's like I wake up and I feel like groggy and just, you know, fatigued and everything. And that's when I'm at my weakest. The enemy loves to attack me during those, like, first couple hours of the morning. But, you know, lately, yeah, yesterday, today, you know, even before, I continue to just say, you know, to just thank God. You know, God, thank you for this feeling tired today. Thank you, Lord, for all these trials here right now. Thank you for all these thoughts coming to my mind, you know, of rejection and all that stuff. Or at work, you know, I've got a pretty, it's a pretty trying situation at work. I mean, it's been a very interesting job the last couple of years. And, you know, a lot of trials have come my way. And lately, yeah, just, you know, I'm finding myself, you know, thanks God for this, for the stress at work. You know, thanks for the chaotic situation and all that stuff. And it's like, just like this morning, you know, as I began to thank him, that fatigue, that morning, you know, drowsiness, that not so much that mental fatigue, you know, I mean, but I think that physical fatigue, that feeling, just a feeling like grogginess was just, you know, subsided. So, I mean, you know, I think the Lord's showing me that, you know, through everything, give thanks, you know, and it tends to do the opposite. You know, like I think it was you, Willie, or I forget, somebody else said, you know, I mean, be thankful for the spirit of, you know, rejection. And they hate that. Yeah, they definitely don't like that. So it's just like, you be thankful. And they're like, wait a minute, you're supposed to be complaining and griping, you know. And so it tends to, you know, combat them. But yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, all that grogginess and all that fatigue would just go away. I'd be like, thank you, Lord, for not feeling totally alert. Thank you for not being 100% right now. And yeah, it just would subside, and I'd start to feel a little bit more energy, and I'd feel a little bit more alert. So, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Father.
So, oh yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Well, mine's going to take a while. I was hoping everybody would get in here before I started. We'll go ahead and start. Monday morning, this past Monday morning, I got a call from my daughter-in-law, Austin's wife, and she said, you need to get over here right now. I just live 4 or 5 miles from her. And so David and I went over there. David wasn't doing anything. So I said, I don't know what's going on, but let's go over there and see what's going on. Maybe one of the kids hurt themselves or something. But when I got over there, the police were there. And I said, well, what in the world's happened here, you know? When I walked inside, one of the deputies told me that my grandson had died, 24 years old, one of the twins. And it was of an overdose up in Pennsylvania at Allentown, somewhere close to Allentown. And, you know, it's just like somebody dropped a load of bricks in my heart, you know. I said, what is this? This can't be right. And I said, what'd you say? And he told me again. And then he told me what happened. And I don't need to go through all of that, but he just gotten out there and couldn't resist the temptation of going back to the drugs. And it was heroin. But anyway, so I said, okay. What do I do now? And of course, Ashley, his wife, she was distraught. Of course, you know, what am I going to do? You know, without my husband, what am I going to do? I've got 2 little girls, and so we just sat there. And I was just talking to David. I said, David, can't we believe for his resurrection? And he said, well, I don't see why not. And so I said, okay, then I'm going to ask the Lord. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if we pray and we believe for Austin's resurrection, would you honor that and allow him to come back? And I got a yes. So we just started right then. We started praying, and we were trying to calm Ashley down, you know, she's really, she just didn't know what to make of it all. She didn't know, she didn't understand what God was doing. And she's a new Christian, brand new Christian, brand new. And then all this happens, dropped in her lap, you know. And we started telling her of the miracles that we've seen God do just in the last 3 or 4 years, about the three people that were raised from the dead that we prayed for. Most of them were on the phone. one guy called one morning, and he said, I woke up this morning and my wife's cold right next to me. She's cold. And we were in our prayer meeting that morning. And David said, well, all right, let's pray. And so he started praying, and we started praying in the spirit behind him. And the guy said, in a few minutes, he said, well, she's breathing again. And David said, well, all right, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. And, of course, she lived from that point on. She was stone cold. And there was another one that lady died. And her husband called us. They were UVMers. And we went over there. And EMT people were already there. But she'd been dead for quite some time. And they were just kind of haphazardly doing it, you know. I believe they've been dead for more than ever what it is, a few minutes, they know that it's going to be some brain damage if they do bring them back alive, so they don't really try very hard. And so they just they did what they put their little show on, and then they took her out to the ambulance to take her, you know, to the hospital to declare her dead. And she woke up. She came back to life. And one of them said, I have never in my 20 years of EMT seen anybody come back to life without shocking them or doing major CPR or whatever they do, you know, to bring somebody back with heart failure. And she came back to life. That's number two. And I can't remember what the other one. Y'all have to forgive me. It's been a hectic week. But anyway, we've seen, and we went through all of the things that we've seen, and I kind of helped her out a little bit and told her, so look, God can do anything, and he can do anything, and he can bring back anybody he wants to. Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days before he brought him back. Remember the guy over in South Africa, the preacher that had the car wreck. He'd been dead for 4 days and was embalmed. And God brought him back. And we kind of went on this kind of an avenue with her, the things that we could remember, you know. And she started believing. And then the next couple of days, we kept feeding her full of faith, kept feeding her full of the Word of God about faith. And she started believing. And so, and then we had the first day we had Monday night fellowship prayer time, and we all prayed in there. And I'm telling you, the power of God came upon me, and I declared him alive. I declared him to come back in the name of Jesus. I don't remember what all I said. But then there were some more. Marlon got, I believe Marlon's healed completely because of what happened Monday night. But anyway, that was an awesome night. We all prayed and we had a great time in the Lord. And then the Lord told us to fast for 3 days. And so, and one of the ladies had a dream that Austin was in hell, and the Lord had said, Lord, can we pray him out of there? Can we get him out of there? He said, my judgment is set. And she went interceding for him again. And Lord, please, He's got his family. He said, my judgment is set on him. It's kind of an adamant reply. And she said that Father began speaking a word to me concerning Austin at work around 2:30 when I finally got a chance to get still and quiet with him for a bit. He told me the judgment for Austin. I'll just read it to you. That way it'd be easy. Austin is sad. He began telling me all the reasons why. It's not what everybody wants to hear, but I believe I've heard rightly. I asked Father for heads to confirm the vision I saw of Austin's punishment last night, and if he is truly in hell now and got two heads. This is what I saw. I was grieved while I prayed last night at the meeting because, like Michael, and I did, I saw him in hell myself before I ever got to the meeting. You know, but I did, I saw he was being tormented considerably. But I saw a beam of light come up and suck him out of hell. She didn't see that. She said the judgment for Austin has been set. Anyway, see, I've already said that. I was grieved while I prayed last night at the meeting because, like Michael, I saw Austin in hell. The demons were taunting him as they had him bound by the wrists and were putting needles with syringes into his veins and injecting something into him that turned all his veins black, all the way up to his heart and brain. And then his heart and brain would explode, and then it would start all over again. I asked Father for a word if he was planning on resurrecting Austin. And my finger was on the word departed in Acts 16 and 40. But there's also a promise of comfort in this verse as well. Acts 16 and 40. When they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Austin has departed for judgment that day. I believe he's been in hell for at least 3 days. I ask if some in the assembly were being answered according to their idols, and also emotionally concerning words and visions of a resurrection for Austin and got our heads. Yes. The idols in our hearts, you know, sometimes would hinder our prayers. Well, all the time they will. And so what David and I did, we both did. We just said, Lord, if that's your will, we'll accept it. Just like it is, and we'll thank you for it because we know you're the wisest thing that we know. You know, we just accept it. And then David says, I believe Eve's revelation here is true. Austin died and is in judgment. He is not coming back. I believe it's possible that after this, a brand new born-again man is coming back. I address the idolatry below. We got the testing of Abraham verse when he took Isaac to Moriah to sacrifice him. He proved Isaac wasn't an idol and received him back as from the dead. He says, Michael and I agreed that if the Lord did not want Austin to come back, his will be done. Jesus was the lamb in the thicket who was sacrificed in his place. Michael believes in household salvation and has believed for Austin for years, and that's the truth. I've been praying for him for years. And finally, I ask if I should share all of this and the word Father gave me with you. And got 2 heads. Yes, I see. She said, when I came home from work, I fell to my knees and began to plead with Father to please give Austin another chance and to revoke his judgment. And he said to me again with immovable finality, his judgment is set. Arise, daughter, and write the words I speak to you. I'm telling you these things for one reason. It's there's people out there listening that may be going through the same thing that we've had to go through with Austin and Blake. He said, my father said to me, his judgment is set. And David says, and judgment is happening to him as we speak. I gave Austin many second chances, but he disdained the life that I gave to him and rejected the salvation that I offered to him time after time. And the baptism which he was baptized with, which we just baptized him here just a while back, he would not walk in it. I held him more accountable in these last months of his life as he joined himself to my people. He was given more grace and truth than most, and he accounted it a light thing, continuing to walk in pride and arrogance of his own heart. A false and an arrogant spirit do I despise. I will not abide in sincerity, showmanship, and games in the midst of my holy people. I have spoken all these things to Austin. He has heard the judgment and attest that is righteous and just. He spoke it to him while he was in hell, while he's in hell. All, David says, all of this is clearly true of Austin. Actions and his judgment is just. He now pleads, this is God again, he now pleads that a warning be sent to his brother, Blake, who is on this same path and will end up right next to him for eternity should he continue to walk in the same pride and arrogance, neglecting and rejecting so great a salvation. David says, could this mean that Austin believes at this time that he will be in hell for eternity? I believe he does. I heard in the spirit simultaneously while Father was speaking. This is the lady. Austin's pleadings in his torments that a warning be sent to his brother Blake. She says, I pray, Father, will comfort Michael and his family during these days, and that Blake will wake up and heed the warning from his brother. David says, I believe Eve's revelation is true. Her revelations have been extremely accurate. And they have. They've been right on target. Every time she's had a dream or a vision or a word from God, it's always been just right on. Her revelations have been extremely accurate in that Austin is enduring the rightful judgment of his sins against God and men. But I think there may be more after this judgment. Michael said, Jeanette was telling me, and that Sue Ellen, that's my youngest sister. My youngest sister had a dream sometime around the middle of last week, around Wednesday of last week, of my brother, Walker, who's in heaven now. He was in a hunting accident back in 1968. And he was 10 years old at the time. I dreamed about my brother Walker in heaven, and he was shaking hands with a young man. She didn't know who it was until she heard that Austin had died Monday. She now knows it was Austin that was shaking hands with my little brother Walker, who died in 1968. My sister Sue Ellen believes in dreams, but she is at best a nominal Christian, you know. So now we have Michael and Eve seeing Austin in hell, and then Austin seen in heaven by his daughter, Adley. Oh, that's a good one. Ashley, her mother, was trying to tell her about her daddy being in heaven, you know, trying to let her know that her daddy had died in a nice way, in an easy way where she could understand. And she said, honey, your daddy is in heaven. And Adley says, well, mother, I know that. He's up there talking to Jesus right now. He'll be home in a couple of days. Now that, when I heard that, I said, whoa, this is a 4-year-old kid. And she sees in the spirit a lot. She sees in the spirit a lot. She loves the Lord. So now we have Michael and Eve seeing Austin in hell, and then Austin seen in heaven by his daughter Adley and Michael's sister Sue Ellen. This seems to prove our belief that Austin was going to hell, and then after judgment, to heaven to return with a great testimony. On June the 13th, 2018, Debbie Horton wrote, in a dream, there was a lioness roaming around the streets of my old neighborhood where the house is. I was partway up on Hickory Hill by the Clark family's double lot next to the half that's wooded. The other half of the lot has their house on it. I had been speaking with an older teenager or a boy in his young 20s who was an expert video gamer. He had shiny black hair that fell partway over his forehead. We were standing by a baby carriage with a baby in it, but I never saw the baby. I don't know who was pushing the carriage, if anyone, or how it got there. I only remember it was there with us. As the lioness came walking up toward us, I was alarmed and wanted to go for help. But the boy said to just stand still, and she wouldn't even see it. So she did come and even brushed up against the baby carriage, curling around it with her tail. But then she wandered off again. Now, David's interpretation of it is the lioness is the king's bride. The dark-haired gamer is Austin. The baby could be born again, Austin. The bride doesn't see or embrace black-haired Austin anymore, but born again, Austin. Austin has played games with everyone, and his submission has been to darkness, dark hair, because of his drug addiction and spirit of rejection. It seems from all the revelation that Austin is in hell and will never come back, but a born-again man will come back. Maybe this is what we are in. This is what we are to see and embrace. His resurrection timing points to the man-child anointing of Isaiah 61, which is 2 days after the end of the 2 days of the fast that was left at that time. When I sent this interpretation to Debbie Horton, she wrote back, David, I don't know who Austin is. I stood in faith with you being local when you sent the email, but have no clue who the people are or were. Now I see he's Michael's grandson or nephew. That must be why the Lord brought the dream back to me. Now check this out. Vanessa had a dream on 6/12/18 that she saw Austin on a morgue slab. This was Monday night. On a morgue slab, laid out dead, and a lioness, same kind of lion, a mama lion, a female lion, appeared circling the slab faster and faster. And then Austin sat up, and then he stood up. The circling of the lioness is just like Deborah's dream above. I received Esther 4:16 in answer to Eve's direction to fast herself. Esther 4:16, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, nights, or day. I also and my maidens will fast in like manner. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. David says, I started to calculate the days of this revelation just after starting the fast. We've been on a 3-day food and water fast. So we are on the last day of the fast, which ends Thursday. That was this morning, after having no breakfast. The last day of the fast was when the lioness appeared before the lion. Esther, now it came to pass on the 3rd day, this last day of the fast, that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the entrance of the house. This day was Nisan 16 when Esther, the lioness, put on her royal apparel to intercede for her people's life, and invited the king and Haman, that's the faction beast, to the first banquet of wine. The fourth day, which starts Thursday, the 14th at noon. The 14th was also the Passover. It was Nisan 17, the sacred banquet, the second banquet of wine, when Haman met his doom by the words of the lioness. And the lion, who gave the house of Haman to the lioness to rule over. And then Mordecai, the man-child, received from the king his ring of authority to rule. That's what we see as being resurrected to the throne. Michael said Austin had a vision of himself. Austin had a vision here a few weeks ago where we were flying, and I was out in front. Austin and Blake was behind, and UBM was back behind us somewhere. And we were like doves. We were flying like doves. And that David said, this represents overcomers. Doves represents overcome. This is not the old Austin who will be dead at this time. To the top of the mountain we flew and saw water everywhere down below us. And I'm not real sure if that was Austin's dream or Blake's dream, but both of them, I believe, saw water down below the hill, below the mountain, which represents judgment. So, I was getting no answers from the Lord. This is David. As to whether Austin was coming back or not. So I cried out to the Lord all night long. He and I both did. And I was getting the same thing. I was getting no answers about what we were to do and what he was doing with Austin and for his family. And this morning, the 13th, I felt again to ask Father questions that came to my mind. And for the first time, I got solid answers by lot. This is David. Have the factions' witchcraft infected Eve's dream and prophecy? He got two tails for no. So Eve's voice is good. Two heads for yes. Is Austin coming back? Two tails for no. Is a born-again Austin coming back? Four heads for yes. Different Austin. Born-again Austin. I believe the witchcraft prayers from the faction has given us the trouble with the site, her website, and taken down Austin and cursed others. So I ask, will you now conquer the factious Philistines or Palestinians coming against us tomorrow? That's the fourth day. That's this day. Nisan 17, when Haman was conquered, as you told me in the text below, and got two hits for yes. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Should I curse Kevin's computer and ability to do his job and got a hedge for yes? He left because of sin, and he's one of them that hacked into our computers. Those who lay a snare fall into it themselves, says the Lord, and with what meat they measure, outfit will be meted unto them. Now, the Philistine judgment verses he got were next to the Edomite judgment. And that's Ezekiel 25:14-17. Then I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel. And they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my wrath. And they shall know my vengeance, saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, because the Philistines have dealt by revenge and have taken vengeance with despite of soul to destroy with perpetual enmity. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will stretch out my hand upon the Philistines, and I will cut off the Cherethites and destroy the remnant of the seacoast. and I will execute great vengeance upon them with wrathful rebukes. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall lay my vengeance upon it. That'll get people's attention, and some of them will repent. So he says, I asked Sandy to get a word about Austin, and she got Ezekiel 21:5-7. And I saw that the text, fitting the problem of Austin and the faction, went on through verse 12. That's Ezekiel 21:5-12. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, have drawn forth my sword out of its sheath. It shall not return anymore. Sigh, therefore, thou son of man, with the breaking of thy loins, and with bitterness shall thou sigh before their eyes. Because this judgment is a sorrow unto us, the judgment on Austin, of course. And it shall be when they say unto thee, wherefore sighest thou? That thou shalt say, because of the tiding, for it comes. And every heart shall melt, and all hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall faint, and all knees shall be weak as water. Behold, it comes, and it shall be done, saith the Lord God. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy, and say, Thus saith the Lord, say, a sword, it is sharpened, and also furbished, it is sharpened, that it may make a slaughter. It is furbished, that it may be as lightning. Shall we then make mirth, the rod of my son? It contemneth every tree, and it is given to be furbished, that it may be handled. The sword, it is sharpened, yea, it is furbished, to give it into the hands of the slayer. Cry and wail, son of man, for it is upon my people, it is upon all the princes of Israel. David says, who factioned against the house of David in Jerusalem, the bride. And then the verse goes on, they are delivered over to the sword with my people. Smite, therefore, upon thy thigh. Okay, Sandy also got, for the Austin situation, Hebrews 6:15. And Jeff thought it should be read through 20. Hebrews 6:15. And thus, having patiently endured, he obtained the promise. This David said, we'll cover this verse again below. For men swear by the greater, and in every dispute of theirs, the oath is final for confirmation. Wherein God, being minded to show more abundantly unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, interposed with an oath, and that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong encouragement, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us, which we have as an anchor of the soul to hope both sure and steadfast, entering into that which is within the veil, whether as a forerunner, Jesus entered for us, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. David says, Jesus, as a forerunner, entered the veil through death and resurrection. And so might Austin also enter the presence of God as Jesus did by dying and visiting the dead to then be resurrected. That's the question. Sandy's word above in Hebrews 6:15, and thus having patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And that speaks about Abraham enduring to receive the promised seed, the forefather of Jacob and all the patriarchs of Israel. The man-child is also such a seed. Abraham endured taking his son to Mount Moriah to sacrifice him to God. But the lamb was found in the thicket and was sacrificed in his stead. It was said of Abraham that he received his son back as from the dead. And by this act he proved to the father that he was not in idolatry with Isaac. Sandy also got concerning Austin, Ezekiel 14:3. Son of man, these men have taken their idols into their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces, which should I be inquired of at all by them? Well, he says, I think Michael and I dealt with the idols when I told him of Eve's answer from God. And we both initially thought it to mean that Austin was not coming back in any way. We both said, well, Lord, if that's your will, we submit. This idolatry was also mentioned in these words. Note, lady said, I called this other lady the night before this dream, but she didn't answer, so I called her husband and told him I felt to ask her to get a word for Austin concerning this situation. And the husband said she was asleep already, so I told him not to wake her up, but she had a dream that night about Austin anyway. And she said, I haven't been remembering much in the whole dream department lately, but earlier today at the 6:13, I suddenly recalled a dream that I had last night. In actual life, our daughter donated to Locks of Love 20 years ago or so. In this program, people donate to cancer patients or others in need. And here is last night's very short dream, including the interpretation that I received. It's called The Locks of Love. In the dream, I was involved in the Locks of Love program. Our hair was inspected for suitability. It was deemed clean, and the length was determined to be 10 inches that I would give. But then I didn't want to give, didn't want to make that sacrifice. In the dream, I was very upset and disappointed with myself that I did not want to give up my hair for a needy cause. Here's the interpretation. A verse that Father put on my heart was 1 Corinthians 13:13. But now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Whenever I think of 10, I always think of the 10 commandments, the law. I think Father was showing me that love is the sacrifice that he wants. And I'm asking him to show me any and every way in my personal life where love and the expression of love is lacking. And David says, long hair in 1 Corinthians 11 is a sign of submission to a husband. In many dreams, hair is used as a sign of our submission to our spiritual husband, Jesus Christ. Cancer is a type of sin that eats a person alive like it did to Austin, who spiritually had no hair, as a type of submission to Christ in this regard. Pam's submission to sacrificially stand in for Austin by faith is symbolized as her giving him her hair. And then she says, I had not asked Father for a specific word for Austin. Interestingly, in my journal, I had written blank, but then corrected it to Austin. After I repented this morning to you all and to the Lord, and she did, I felt like it was time to ask for a word by faith at random. My pen landed on, called thy son. And I felt that I was supposed to include the context of 22 through 24 also. Listen to this. This is what she got. Luke 15:21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And you know, that's the way Austin probably feels right now. But the father said to his servants, bring forth quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. Praise God. And that shows death and resurrection for Austin. And then we got Missy. She said, I asked the Lord for verses for Austin this morning and got by faith at random Mark 13:28 in context 28 through 32. Now, from the fig tree, learn her parable. When her branches now become tender and putteth forth its leaves, that's resurrection from the death of winter. You know that the summer is nigh. Well, if you know anything about summer, it's coming up on the 21st, right? Even so, ye also, when you see these things coming to pass, know ye that he is nigh, even at the doors. Is Austin a sign of the coming latter rain anointing on the man-child ministry? Could be. It very well could be. Verse 30, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away until all these things be accomplished. Austin is not going to pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The promises will prevail, as he said. But at that day or that hour knoweth no one, not even the angels in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Then she said, I also submit this to any correction of our Father through the saints or otherwise. Was that you, Mr. David? I think that was David. Yeah. We have more testimonies coming in this regard, so I'll update them when I get them. We welcome any correction to our thoughts above. If we're wrong, we pray the Father to show us through you or by dreams or revelation. Well, that's where we are with my grandson. Now, tomorrow, I'm headed to Arkansas for visitation of the body at 4 o'clock Central Time to 8 o'clock Central Time. And I'm asking y'all to pray for his resurrection and pray in the Spirit. If you can think about it and get in a place, pray for his resurrection at that time. I can tell you this much. The people that are surrounding him right now are not full of faith. They're speaking death on him. They want to get him in the ground as quick as possible. But, you know God. God can do anything. And I'm a believer, and I believe that God's going to resurrect that young man. And I'm going to tell you something else. Many lives are going to be saved because of it. One of them's going to be his brother. One of them's going to be his brother Blake. And he's going to rise up in that Baptist church, I believe. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to have my iPad going, recording the whole thing. I am. I'm going to record the whole thing because I believe with all my heart when I get there, and the people here are going to be praying during that period of time as well, that boy is going to rise up. He's going to come out of that dead man's casket, and he's going to be full of Jesus. Not only is he going to be full of Jesus, he's going to be full of evangelistic messages for the people. And people's lives are going to be changed because I'm not talking about just a few people. I'm talking about thousands because of it. And I'm not anybody, but I have faith. I have faith in my God for household salvation. And he can't go to hell. He cannot go to hell. He's got a family to raise. And I believe the Lord's going to honor our prayers. I really do. I do. And my family thinks I'm a nut. That's okay. Been many nuts through the years that have brought people back to life by their faith. Just by their faith. I couldn't bring a gnat back to life. But God uses our faith to do that, right? And I believe along with y'all's faith, and the people here's faith, that boy's going to rise up and preach the word of God to a bunch of lost drug addicts tomorrow. I'm going to drive 500 miles. And I know that boy Austin is going to come up out of that casket. There's going to be some run out the room. There's going to be some screaming and hollering. It's going to be some of them hitting the ground. Going to be hitting their knees and repenting. Praise God. And I'm asking for your help and your faith tomorrow during that period of time. And I believe it with all my heart. Anybody want to have any comments or anything?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Angelica.
Brother, I just say we start praising the Lord and giving glory right now for the work he's already done.
Amen. I just praise you, Father. I glorify you, Lord. I thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.
Praise you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
God that created the universe. You created that boy, and you can recreate him, Lord. They did an autopsy up there in Pennsylvania, which don't mean nothing. And then they brought him down here, and they've done a...
Thank you, Lord.
But they put that stuff in it. And I'm telling you right now, it don't make a bit of difference. And I praise you, Father, for bringing them
in. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy is your name, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for resurrection power, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God. Bless you, Lord God. The gates of hell shall not prevail against Austin. Thank you, Lord God. Bless you, Lord God.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God.
We praise
you,
Father, because you're worthy of our praises.
Praise
we know, Thank Lord, that we have to go through Lord. These trials to mature
praise
us, Lord.
You, Jesus.
And Lord, I believe you're going to get people's faith stirred up so good this time that they'll never fall again. They'll never fail again.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
I praise you, Lord. Father. Thank you, Lord God.
We receive it.
Thank you, Lord.
We receive
it. Thank you, Lord God.
Jesus.
I've already told my wife, I told her, I said, when he raises up out of that casket, you go hug his neck.
Hallelujah.
And I told his wife, I said, Ashley, when he comes up out of that, you're going to have to race Mimi to get up there and hug his neck. But you're going to see it.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. It doesn't make any difference whether they believe it or not. It don't make a bit of difference. God uses the faith of his people.
Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you for resurrection life, Lord God. Thank you for resurrected life, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. It is done. It is finished, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. It is finished. It is finished. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You know,
thank you, Jesus.
I'll tell you this much. Blake died. His brother died and went to hell for a short period of time. And it didn't affect him much. Austin's been down there for 3 days. You don't think he's going to come back smelling like smoke? That's okay.
Yeah.
It's going to put the fire of God in that boy. And he's not going to want to talk about nothing but Jesus when he comes back. Nothing but Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise your holy name, Lord.
It is done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody
want to
talk about a ball game. He said, man, I ain't got time for that. Let's talk Jesus. That's all he want to talk about.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just have a cup of water ready. Have a cup of water ready for the brother, Brother Michael.
Amen. Well, I'm gonna
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to stuff a half a loaf of bread down it. Amen.
Praise you, Lord. It's done. It's done. Thank you, Lord. I've seen the Lord do this in my own family. He's can resurrect the dead like nothing. We praise you for it, Lord God. It's done.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank
it ain't
you,
nothing
Lord.
That he hadn't done before. He's done it before. He did it with Lazarus. He did it with that South African preacher. He's done it with other people. Somebody was telling us about some people down in Brazil that had been 6 foot under. It came up out of there alive. Or underground. I don't know how far it was. Came in a baby
Thank you, Jesus.
That had a young baby that the mother had dropped, and she thought it was dead, and it was dead. And she took it out and buried it. And they told the police, and the police came out there and dug the baby up, and the baby was sitting there smiling. I'm telling you, God can do anything. Praise God. Oh, I praise you, Lord, that tomorrow there's going to be an awesome, awesome revival. I'm not talking about somebody just coming in. I'm talking about resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ filling a room up with the glory of God and people hitting their knees and running. Praise God to the Lord Jesus. That's what's going to happen. And I'm going to have it on my, I'm going to have my iPad. I'm going to have it running. And I said, when he raises up, oh, glory to God, you're going to see it on YouTube or wherever. Praise God. Or wherever God wants me to put it, you know, that's going to be God. Praise God. This young 24-year-old boy is coming back. Ain't nobody going to change my mind either. I've got to go in amongst the beast tomorrow. Y'all pray for me. Because that's a bunch of unbelievers. And they don't believe. They just think I'm nuts. I've proven wrong before. God will prove them wrong now. And I'm not going back to get even with anybody. I'm going back to watch my grandson come up. One of my good buddies. Him and Blake have always been. We've all been close. Until I get into the drug scene and all that kind of stuff. Praise God. Anybody got anything they want to add?
What time again was that, Michael?
It's 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock Central Time. Central Time.
That's okay, Arkansas time?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to look that up and see what time that is, Ohio time. Okay, 4 to 8. All right.
Yeah, where are you, in Ohio?
Yeah.
Aren't you in Central Time?
Eastern, I believe.
Eastern? Okay. So it's 9:20 there now?
Yes. Okay. 9:17, right around there, yeah.
Okay, so it'll be 5 to 9 for you.
Okay.
Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I was just going to say I just got an email from David, and I'm sure you did too. But anyway, I don't know if it's saying any more than what you just shared or not. It's an update. If you want to,
where is it, in the mail? Did it come in the email?
Yeah. It's an email. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I see. He says, this is the most up-to-date version of your input to the Austin Coming Back Revelation. It'll give you faith, so please read it. Michael is traveling to Arkansas early in the morning. The viewing when the casket is open is from 5 to 9 Eastern time. We ask that all be confessing, commanding, and praying during this time for Austin to come back. And we will join together in the evening for combined faith. Remember the verse, if any two of you agree. Amen. I don't know what he added. Let me look down at the bottom.
Scroll down. There's more.
Oh. Who is this? Sue. Denny. Pam. Oh, he's got all the verses from this morning. There's a bunch of good verses. I'm not going to read them all. We'll get into something else here in a minute. But a bunch of good verses. Okay, Sue had a dream. She said, the dream I had was very short. On 6/11, that's Sunday, around 11 a.m., just before Amber called me about Austin's death. No. Was it the 11th Monday? Yeah. Called me about Austin Death. I was with and saw a small group of UBMers with David and Michael. They were all smiley, all happy, including myself. They were going on a trip somewhere, and I was happy for them too. I wasn't going with them, and it was okay. Then I woke up shortly after I went back to sleep and had that same dream again. Because of the message that Amber called me about, I didn't get a word from the Lord right away about the dream. I asked for and got Jeremiah 26, verse 18. Missy, I'm going to mute you. Poor old fudgesicles. she said, I didn't get a word from the Lord right away, and I asked for and got Jeremiah 26, verse 18 in context, 15 through 23. Only know ye for certain that if you put me to death, ye will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, this man is not worthy of death, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord God, our God. Then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah, the Morishite, prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And he spake to all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and entreat the favor of the Lord? And the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against him. And David said, what's the point here? Whenever a man of God spoke to God's people, there were those who spoke against him all through the Bible. And nothing is different now. They always belittle God's power to save or judge too. Verse 20, and there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Uriah, the son of Shemaiah, of Kiriath Jearim, and he prophesied against this city and against this land, according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim the king, with all his mighty men, and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. And Jehoiakim the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan the son of Akbar, and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched forth Uriah out of Egypt and brought him into Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. I was praying to the Lord about Austin around 2 p.m. and asked the Lord for a word about his situation. And my finger was below verse 6 on the chapter of Malachi 4. I asked the Lord if the dream was about Austin and got two tails for no. And asked again and got two tails for no. It appears, David says, this dream is about people resisting the power of God. Then I asked if he gave me this dream and got two heads of two coins for yes. I asked if this dream had anything to do with Austin and got two heads of two coins for yes. David says, why are people so against saving Austin from hell? Because they feel comfortable to think that they also will go to heaven as dirty as they are. The word declared that thieves, liars, and drunkards will all go to hell. So I leave this info with you. Lord's blessings be with you and his grace and mercy on all of us. In Jesus' name. And then Vanessa had a dream on 6-4, it's last week. She said, I was taking care of Austin and Ashley's baby boy. This was before Austin died, because they were neglecting him. David says, we must never neglect the fruit of Christ in our life. They don't have a baby boy. He was about 3 months old, and I had him at church. I had five bottles for him. I saw pews at first, and then it turned into small tables that people were sitting and eating and talking. On two tables, I saw that two of the baby's bottles were there and ruined, and the milk spilled out. They were Playtex nurses, whatever that is. So I got the diaper bag, which had colorful flower designs on it, and left with the baby. We came home to our apartment, and it was pouring down rain. Barry asked me if we could wait till the rain stops to go to the store. I said yes, and heard a ring. Excuse me. I said yes and heard a ring on his phone and said it's probably a flood warning. Then we heard the baby crying and we were looking for him in my purse. We saw him sitting on the kitchen floor and he looked older now, about 6 months old. And at the end of the dream, I knew I was taking care of him because Ashley went to work. Our work, David says, is to have the word to grow in us. This should never be neglected, for Jesus said, only those who bear fruit will be in the kingdom. I asked the Lord for a word about this and received Mark 3, 31 through 35. And there came his mother and his brethren standing without, and they sent unto him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting about him. And they say unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brother without seek for thee. And he answered them and said, who is my mother and my brethren? And looking around on them that sat round about him, he saith, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and sister and mother. David says, we are the mother of Jesus if we bring forth his fruit in our lives. Jesus, the word of God, grows in us as our spiritual man until he is born and seen by the world. I believe this is about Austin and Ashley's spiritual man being neglected. But he will grow very quickly, as we're seeing in Ashley. And seems Austin has to be resurrected so his spiritual man can grow very quickly also. And so he can be Jesus's brother by doing the will of God. Lord, please do this for Michael and family and all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, that was the addition. Praise God. I thank y'all for listening, actually. I know it can be a little boring, but I'm looking for help with y'all's prayers tomorrow. And I praise God that we got people like y'all. Thank you, Lord. Give me just a minute here. Had to blow my horn. Praise God. Okay. You know, folks, I could be down about this. I could be heartbroken about this. I could be any of those things, just like the lost is back home. But I am excited. I'm telling you, I'm excited about what God's fixing to do. And I know my God is. He's done for me. Every time that I've had faith to believe, he's done it for me. And he's done it for y'all too. So you know what I'm talking about. Praise God. All right, somebody was trying to get in and talk here just a minute. Yeah, Pat.
Michael, can you forward that email over to me? For some reason, I didn't get that.
Which email?
Is that an email?
That's a local email for the local people here.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think David will probably send it out on an e-list. So if you're on the e-list, you'll probably get it.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, just remember, whatever time it is in your area, just be praying for the Lord. Yeah. Be praying for Austin tomorrow. Anybody else?
You said tomorrow at 4 Central?
4 Central. 4 to 8.
Okay.
What'll happen is all of his buddies and all of Blake's buddies and all of the family and all that bunch will get together and they'll just, you know, do whatever they do and then thing. But I'm going to be watching. That's what I'm going to be doing. I ain't got time to talk. I'm watching. Praise God. I ain't got time to walk. I'm going to be watching. Lord of God. I see an eye. Amen. I see a finger twitch. I see an eye close. Woo! I mean, open up. Come on now. I'm going to shout. I'm going to shout the glory. I told David today, I said, can't you imagine if I call you tomorrow, the noise in the background is going to be deafening because these people don't know what to think about a dead man coming back to life after being dead for 4 days.
Amen.
And had an autopsy and had an embalming.
Yeah, amen. You might have to put him out the room for a minute if you can pray in faith.
I'm going to just sit back and watch because I know God's giving him some instruction. I want you to go back and tell my people. Go ahead, Leah.
Lazarus was dead for 4 days, so what's the difference?
The what?
Lazarus.
Yeah.
Was dead for 4 days.
Absolutely he was.
So
he knew nothing for God.
Yeah. He was dead longer than that. He was in the tomb 4 days. So.
Yeah. He stinketh.
Yeah. That's why they embalm them, so they won't stink.
Yeah. Well, even that embalming stuff runs out after a while. They start stinking, what I understand. I don't know, but he's not going to have a chance to stink. He's going to be a stinker in that church, that Baptist church. He's going to have Baptists falling on their knees and praising God that they saw such a thing, you know. And it may change that Baptist preacher. I don't know. I know the Baptist preacher. Matter of fact, I had early on in my Christian walk, I had met him, and he just lived right down the road from my place in Arkansas. Good guy, always liked him. He was very conservative, very patriotic, you know, like a lot of Baptists are. But he's a good guy. I always liked him. And it's going to change his outlook. He's going to do one of two things. He's either going to run out of there, or he's going to want to know more about Jesus, right? He's going to want to know more about Jesus. And knowing him from way back then, I think he's going to want to know more about Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I think it's the most opportune time for a revival to start when something like that happens. I don't know what God's got planned. I don't care as long as Austin comes back and starts preaching or doing whatever God told him to do. You know, when you've been in hell for 3-4 days and then God takes you up to heaven for a little short while and shows you what you can have, which one would you choose, you know? She said she saw Austin in there. Now, Blake had the same experience in hell. He went down there and he saw his best friend that had died weeks before doing the same thing. And demons was injecting stuff into his veins. And it was blackness went up to his heart and his brain, and then it exploded. And that's what Eve saw Austin do. And Austin was sitting there hollering at her to tell Blake, you don't want to come here. Tell Blake about what's going on. That's his twin brother. The twin brothers are identical twins. Now, we can tell them apart now as they've gotten older and one's a little bit bigger than them and all that kind of stuff. But they've been real close over the years. They've been very competitive against one another. But, you know, all said and done, they really are close, very close. And it's devastated Blake. And my wife was concerned about him. I said, just wait till tomorrow. Just wait till tomorrow. Then you're going to see something. Yeah, Leah.
Does your iPad do all 4 hours? I mean, will it record for 4 hours?
We're going to find out supernaturally.
Keep an eye on it because you don't want to miss this. You know, if he doesn't come to late, you
I'm
know.
Gonna keep. I'm gonna keep an eye on Austin.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have Jeanette take hers, and she can video too. You know.
Yeah.
She's got one her daughter gave her. Oh, praise God! It's gonna be there. It's gonna be on there. Y'all gonna see it. Yeah, Missy.
I can't wait to hear what he has to tell everybody. I think he's going to, you know, the Lord's going to give him something specific to tell everybody.
He's already got a story when he was in hell. He's going to tell you about that. I don't know if he'll tell you the whole thing, but he's going to show it. He's going to show it, I believe, in a way that you'll understand that you don't want to go there. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, I don't even want to. But the Lord's going to take him to heaven to kind of buffer some of it, I believe, and to give him some instruction. Yeah. You remember Mary Catherine Baxter, when the Lord took her to heaven, I mean to hell? What's the name of that book? Revelations of Hell. When she went to hell, it was just devastating, man. I mean, it just pulled a lot out of her. And then the Lord would take her up to heaven and rejuvenate her. And she loved that, you know. And she hated that going to hell down there. But anyway, I don't know. I praise God for whatever happened. Thank you, Lord.
Brother Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to, because I've heard a lot of the hell testimonies, and I wanted to ask the brethren to pray specifically for his body, for his body function, and for the Lord to, the Holy Spirit to overcome the trauma of coming out of hell, for when, you know, because it can be devastating from what I understand, the effects. Even after they've been brought back.
Amen. Amen, Lord. We thank you for when he comes back, he's going to be restored, recreated in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And Lord, I ask you to take the taps off of him too, in Jesus' name. Well, that'll be a miracle. Another miracle. You know what taps are, tattoos. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. I hope y'all are getting excited as I am, because I'm gonna let you know about it. Y'all be the first ones to know. Let's see, today's Thursday. Well, we might not be able to show you until Tuesday night. I'll be in Arkansas then. So I may have Austin with me. Wouldn't that be awesome? I have Austin with me, if the Lord ain't got him doing something else. That'd be awesome. I let him give his testimony. Woo! Come, Lord Jesus. And I believe, just like David was talking about, I believe the anointing of the resurrection of the man child is right behind this. I believe it. Praise God. That's big, too. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got anything that they'd like to bring up, comment, pray, whatever. Dave, you got in kind of late. I guess you heard about my grandson OD'ing up in Pennsylvania.
I just picked up on it, yeah. Sorry, I came in late.
Yeah, that's okay. You got two demerits, that's all. No, I know sometimes
it's rough you
know. Yeah. Yeah, praise the Lord.
Yeah, it would be nice if you guys share that. If you got some stuff you want to pass on, like Pat was talking about, 3 mil. And I'll listen to this rest of the conference when I get a chance.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing the way that God placed it all together. When Eve came up with her revelation, the judgment has been set. I'm telling you, my heart dropped 100 foot. I said, no. No, you can't do that. But then when she talked about the idol part, I said, uh-oh, I see a light. I see a light. The door's opening. And so we got rid of the idols. The idols of Isaac, okay, Abraham's son. We got rid of that. Lord, whatever you want to do, it's up to you. And we'll accept anything that you want. And then we started getting some revelations about heaven. Praise God. You know, we can't have idols at all. Yes, Leah, go ahead, brother.
Well, that was the same thing you did with the UBM system, is you accepted it as the Lord's will and started to praise him for it, and it's exactly the same thing that you're doing now.
Yeah.
You know, we worship you regardless of what happened, but yeah. Here's our request, though, you know, so. Yeah. Well, that's a good thing, man.
I knew that. You know, Leon, after reading that Prison to Praise and Power and Praise,
yeah,
of Merlin Carruthers, even after the initial shock, I started doing that then as well. I said, Lord, I just praise you for what you're doing in Austin. I thank you, Lord, that you have taken him. And I know that you're going to work all things for the good to those who love you, Lord.
Yeah.
That's what I believe. That's what he did. That's what David did. That's what we all do here locally. Praise God.
I sent my the copy you gave me, I sent it on to Sharon Salem, okay. And I just mailed it out today because she needs that too.
Okay.
Very good.
She doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Better. Not okay, but better.
Okay. All right. Praise God. All right. What y'all want to talk about? We got about 15 minutes.
Well,
let's talk about Jesus.
Well, I got something.
Yeah, Joe.
Or no, sorry. I was raising my hand there. Sorry.
Okay.
Well, no, yeah. It's, no. Well, I don't know. I don't mean to be out of, I don't know if I'm out of line here or what, but I'd like prayer because this is new to me. I'm sorry. I would like to feel excited like it, but this is all new to me. I can't say that I'm really struggling with this. I'll be honest with you. And I, just like about a week ago when, you know, I think it was Thursday, it's kind of the same way. So I asked that you guys pray for me because I don't want to give power to or give strength to the unbelief or doubt in me.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Truly the Word of God? Well, there's some hesitation there.
Yeah, I can't say for sure. I've always been taught, yeah, it's the Word of God, and I struggle with that. You know,
Have you read Sovereign God?
Yeah, I'll have to read that
did
again.
Did you but read chapter 2?
I'll have
chapter
to
read that. Chapter 2 is where David talks about numerics and how Ivan Panin found a scientific proof that the Bible is the Word of God.
Yeah.
Through numbers. And if you read that, you'll get a solid, or you should get a solid knowledge that the Bible is the Word of God. There's no other book like it in the world. Not anywhere in the world or through history has been written like that the Bible has. In that book, there is a story about the Lord Jesus Christ was going to go see Lazarus after he knew that he was dead. And then he got, and he told the men, said, let's go see Lazarus. He sleeps. And then he told him, said, no, he's not sleeping, boys. He's dead. And then he went there 4 days, like Leon was talking about. That's what they said. 4 days in the tomb. And when he got there, he told him, he said, take the stone away. And that's where one of the ladies said, but Lord, he stinketh. He'd been in there for 4 days. And he, I'm going to tell you, like I'd have probably told her, I said, didn't I tell you to take that thing off of there? And he opened it up. And he, first thing he said is, I thank you, Father, that you hear me. So he thanked him first, just like we've been taught to do. He thanked the Lord. And he did it so that the people there would understand the relationship he had with the Father. Then he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus was wrapped up in clothes and stuff for the grave clothes. And the Lord told him, he said, let the man loose. He come running out there like a Chinese, I guess, you know, in little short steps trying to get outside there. Because when the Lord God, somebody that has faith like Jesus had, he had a one-on-one relationship with the Father. He spoke the word, and then the dead man had to come to life. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ told us, he said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do. And since he's told me that, then I can stand before a dead man and command him back to life. Just like Jesus did. That's what the Word of God says. And I believe it. And I've seen it happen in my walk with the Lord many, many times. Many times. We've seen 3 people raised from the dead, like I was telling you earlier. Just in the last few years I've been here in Tennessee. Yeah, really.
Joe. I am so glad you said what you said. That you did not go back and say, yeah, I believe. Yeah, I surely do.
I wanted to, but you know, I need to stop lying to myself and stop living in secrecy, like you said. That I'm struggling with this. I really am. And I, you know, rejection can work in this time, saying, you know, Joe, you're not on the level that these guys are, you know. You might as well step out now. But no, it's I can't do that.
The scriptures tells us that, you know, anything that has to do with us before the Father, all things are open and naked before him of whom we have to do.
Yeah.
And the Lord will show you all of the adversities, all of the enemies, openly and nakedly, just as much as he will show you yourself. The enemies will try to hide, but before the Lord's eyes, they're open and naked, and that's how the Lord prefers to show them to you, open and naked. It is a wise thing for you to say, Lord, I don't believe everything they're saying. And to confess those things, you start dealing with the enemy. You have to start. That's God is doing that on purpose to make you to deal with the enemy. When you were asked, do you believe the Bible is the full word of God? You know, someone would have asked me back then a long time ago. And it's because that's my enemy. That's that thing. If I would have said out of peer pressure and everybody here in front of me, oh yeah, I sure enough do. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah. Because I didn't want to look weak,
yeah,
you know, in everyone's presence. You know, Satan would have took full advantage if you would have said yes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know if you would have been here next week. Just telling you the truth. When I told lies, I went into places where I messed up bad. You know, it would take me into places, you know, where you want to talk about the wrath of the flesh against the will of God. You know, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You know, my flesh rose up in me in such a way, you know, that I'm going back. I went to the bars. I went to drinking. You know, I went to, you know, watching pornography. I went to, my flesh was just like, I'm going to have it. All of it. Because you don't believe in nothing. And all you've been doing is putting on the front and telling lies. And I'm going to have what you sold. And it rose up in me something terrible. You know, but I'll get on the meeting. Hey, everybody, hey, yeah, oh, yeah, smiling. But as soon as this meeting was over, hell would break loose. I'm going to look at some women. And it was because, you know, the Lord was exposing what was in me openly, nakedly. You know, everything that he was seeing, you know, you know, I was talking about this in the Bible studies. The Lord brings evil upon our lives. He exposes things open and nakedly so that we can be humbled and repent. You know, I'm not asking you to believe the word of God.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to force you to believe the word of God. You know, but what I can say is if we can agree that we struggle with believing on the word of God, if we can be open and naked, it'll change your life. That enemy has nowhere else to hide. It, you know, take his clothes off. Show his shame before everybody. You know, don't let it sit there. Just like it affected you when you said, God, I just thank you that I'm groggy this morning. You know, I just thank you, Heavenly Father. You know, because you show me that I have a hard time, you know, in the morning times and I struggle with these lusts. Father, I just thank you for showing me these things. Father, I just thank you for strengthening me. You do the same thing with those that unbelief, you know, that you're struggling with, you know. Father, I just thank you that you show me that my heart doesn't believe in your word. See, he's showing it to you on purpose. He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. God don't want a front from you. You're not going to be a servant. I've fronted on God so many times.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if I would have died, whatever you guys would have expected, oh, yeah, we're going to see Willie in hell. No, I know where Willie was going. And I'm gonna tell you something. the way, you know, that was in me, I'd die with a smile on my face. Hell, heck yeah, I lived the way I wanted to live. you know, and I still war against I had to get on my face and pray. While Michael was talking, and every word he was saying, I was being convicted. It's because the Lord started pulling up things in my heart, that certain things he would say, and the Lord would show me, that's you. That's you. That's you. And you're going to end up in that same place. And it wasn't condemnation. It wasn't rejection. It was just, that's you. And, you know, that's, like I said, I always feel like, you know, my salvation is on this wire because there's this strong desire to want to do evil.
Yeah.
And when Michael said there's an idol there, That's it is. There's an idol there, you know. But it, you know, confess it while it's there. You know, don't leave it, don't give it any place to hide. You know, I would desire to eat sin like water. And I'm just telling you that. I would desire to eat sin like water, you know. And at the same time, God's there. You know, and I don't know, I'm trying to confess this the right way, and I don't always have to say things right.
Yeah.
But as much as good is in me to do, there's this rebellion of evil, and I don't know what it is. You know, I that showmanship spirit, that front spirit, you know, that was when you mentioned that, Michael, the Lord immediately said, oh, that's you. That's you. And I knew it because I had to get on my face and pray. And it has no desire to want to go anywhere. And that's another thing the Lord exposed to me, that he may open a naked. You would rather, you know, for that to stay there. And, you know, what do I know about genuinely living in the spirit toward God? Right now, I only know to repent. You know, and I ask God for that genuine heart. These things got to come out of me. You know, they really have to. But yeah, my advice to you is just, you know, do not be pretentious. I think I sowed so much of that throughout the years that it's become a stronghold for me, the effects of it.
Yeah.
And it's because that's all I knew how to do. Did I genuinely want to serve God throughout those years? Did I put on a front in front of people, you know, to look genuine? Yeah. Is that all I knew how to practice? Yes. And so that's it's a thing that's becoming the hardest thing for me to overcome. Because the desire to do evil attacks me daily. But I thank God, you know, for just being able to speak in tongues and have fellowship. And to be encouraged by him. Because this is not, everyone has what's going on in their heart. This one is just, this is what's going on in mine. But yeah, that's all I got to say, best way I can put it.
Thank you, Willie. That was a great buffer. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Angelica.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to try to offer some encouragement to Brother Joe, as that has been a stronghold in my life, and the Lord has overcome doubt and unbelief in my life gracefully and gradually. However you came to the Lord, you came to the Lord for a reason, because you knew that he was, because he saved you, and he showed you his great mercy. And, you know, we this flesh loves to deny the Lord, because when, you know, the Bible says, let God be true, but every man a liar. And we don't like to be wrong. We don't like to be wrong. And we don't like to admit that we're wrong. We don't like to admit that everything we, all the, knowledge that we've gained in this world is absolutely nothing when it comes in the kingdom of heaven, because that leaves us powerless, and that leaves us in the hands of the Lord, and that gives him full control. So we have to not believe our own unbelief. We have to fight it daily. We have to come against those thoughts, because at the end of the day, if you've ever been delivered of a demon spirit, if you've ever had answers to prayer, if you know that he is above us all, and that his word is true, if you've ever been chastised, if you've ever gone through a trial and he got you out and you know, he showed you why, and you were the better off for it, because now you're walking in the spirit of Christ. If you've ever, you know, just understood that, you know, have you ever felt the eyes of the Lord upon you? Because he says that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. You know that he is, and he's very capable. I mean, if God can speak to you in any little form, you know, in throughout your day, Joe, in any way, if he's ever spoken to you, then you know that he can speak to a man at his will. And that he spoke to those men that wrote that Bible. And those men feared the Lord, and they wouldn't dare write something that wasn't true. Because this is not a game. This is not a game. Brother Michael's grandson is suffering right now because the word is true. And we have to settle that in our hearts. And we have to come against that fleshly desire to be sons of hell every day. We cannot make excuse for that in our hearts, because we will gradually let it win. That is the nature of the flesh. We have to rebuke it every day. You have to fight it. It doesn't matter how tired you are. Ask the Lord for strength. Ask for prayer. Because if you let it, it will take you down. And you will not receive God's best, because you can't receive from God, because the Bible says that we can't receive him from when we're double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Not that man will think he'll receive anything from the Lord. And then your heart will be hardened towards him, because you're like, you're not answering my prayers, Lord. But he said, unless you believe me, you have faith and assurance in who I am and my ability, my power, my sovereignty over you as my child, as my chosen vessel, I will not answer your prayer, because there's no other Jesus. There's only one Jesus with power, and that's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ, the real Jesus of the Bible. There's no other Jesus with any power. And we have to fight for this salvation every day. And I love you, brother, and we have to fight, brother. This is every day is a battle. Every day is a war against the enemy. We cannot take it for granted. I've seen family members, I've prayed them out of hell, and I've seen them come back with hell testimonies. We're the chosen vessels of righteousness that God has chosen on this earth to bring forth his plan. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's most precious. Don't let that go for the flesh, for something that is fleeting. You are worth it, brother. He loves you very much. You and pray that he gives you a spirit to overcome that wickedness, because we can't make excuse for it. And I, the Lord just, he gave me a hard lesson in grace. I believe in grace, but we have to stand against sin with everything that we are, everything we can. If we need to call 100 people to stand in faith with us because we don't have it, then so be it. And I love you, and I bless you all.
Amen. Go ahead, Leah. Got just a minute or two.
I don't have any major words like Willie had or like Angelica had, but all I can say is come back on Tuesday. When you see this resurrection, maybe you'll believe.
Amen.
That's the thing that's going to cement it for you, because we're here saying it's going to happen, and it's going to happen. And when you see it, how can you not believe?
I mean, maybe Tuesday we can talk about faith. I can tell you this, Joe. I was, you know, early on in my Christian walk, I didn't know anything about nothing. But when I got healed by God myself, and they kept telling me that God doesn't heal anymore, that changed my whole life. I started believing it. I started believing what the Word said. And I started searching it out and finding out what the Word said myself. And found out that, hey, look at this verse. Look at this verse. And Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He ain't going to change. He's not going to change for the Baptist. He ain't going to change for the Catholic. He ain't going to change for the Methodist. He said, I am the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. So with that, we're going to have to call it a night. Lord, I just ask and I pray that you go with us tomorrow, that you be with everybody here, Lord, and that I ask, Lord, that these prayers would be just like the one that Buddy had when he saw that the prayers coming up to Jesus looked like little neon signs with Marilyn's name on it. And I'm thanking you, Lord, that those things are going to be coming up with Austin's name on it. And you're going to be smiling and say, okay, Austin, it's time for you to go, bud. Get on back. And that's what I'm praying, Father, and I thank you for it. Lord, I ask and I pray that you give an awakening to Joe, to open his mind's eyes to see the spiritual aspects of the Word of God. And when he does, Lord, he'll understand a whole lot more. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for my brother. He wants all that you have for him, Lord. And we all do too. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to do that for Joe. In Jesus' name. Y'all be blessed, okay? I'll see y'all Tuesday.